That all sounded very ominous now, didn't it? But don't be alarmed. It's time for Tube Talk once again. And before we get going here, we'll start with a little music. There's smooth. There's really smooth. There's silky smooth. And then there's this.
The very thought of you and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind daydream. I'm happy as a king and foolish though it may seem to me that's everything, the mere idea of you. Longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. Moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Written by Ray Noble, produced by Gordon Jenkins, and sung by the King of Smooth, Mr. Nat King Cole. That was so nice. Let's have one more. This is Vaughn Monroe and his orchestra. Before I do a little chatting, and we have a guest.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When Then all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. The ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Ghost riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-i-o, yippee-i-o.
Ghost riders in the sky.
As the riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a-riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Yippee-i-yay.
In the sky.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Vaughn Monroe and his orchestra, that was number one on the Billboard charts, an RCA Victor recording in April of 1949. Those were the days, eh? Well, let's talk a little bit about the show. If you caught it last week, you may have gotten the drift that we're a show about radio, radios, the people who collect them, the people who restore them, people who like to still listen to them, people who are interested in radio in general. And the basis of this all is the vacuum tube, the much forgotten about vacuum tube. You know, the vacuum tube gets no respect today. It was a keystone for development of the radio communication industry in the United States. And without the vacuum tube, there may have never developed the radio industry, the entertainment industry that surrounded it, that enveloped radio as we know it. We owe the tube a big thank you, not only for radio, but for television, and for most of the modern communication developments that have led to present technology. The vacuum tube helped win World War II. You know, many of the companies who produced radios and vacuum tubes were key technology producers of their time, worked on radar, worked on radio communications for the troops, for tanks, for ships, ship to shore. Amazing contributions that many of these companies had made to the war effort. Tubes have been used in amplifiers for guitars, intercom systems, record players, and yes, even computers. You can only imagine that. I have a poster somewhere with IBM advertisement they ran in a magazine surrounding an IBM logo are several vacuum tubes. Amazing. But as can happen, the vacuum tube has receded in popular memory, has been replaced by other icons of technology, most notably in our day and age, the silicone wafer. But here, on Tube Time, we will give the tube the respect it has earned and it still deserves. It is still alive in countless old radios across the country and around the world. Tubes are still working hard in guitar amplifiers. Their owners maintain them. They like the sound better than those new amps. It's never really gone away, the vacuum tube. So here on Tube Talk, we'll listen to some music from that area, talk about the entertainment of that era, talk about those great old sets that still play today. We'll talk about Philco, Zenith, RCA, all these companies that put amazing technology at the fingertips of the consumer and conducted research that served as a foundation for all of our modern electronics. Now imagine this, in 1950s, RCA had sales of close to $600 million, which in that time is just a phenomenal figure. Employed close to 55,000 people working in research and development, recording businesses, radio businesses, service businesses, all made here in the USA. We've got John Coomer on the line from Antique Radio Classified in Long Island, New York. And John has recently acquired the Antique Radio Classified. It is a publication dedicated to the radio collecting community. You'll find ads from folks who have things to sell, services to offer, stories of people and their finds if they found something at a swap meet or an antique store or something that was passed down through the generations, and they have a neat story that goes along with it as far as how they may have restored it. And those are all things you'd find in the Antique Radio Classified. How are you, John?
I'm doing great today, Paul. Beautiful day here.
Well, thanks for being with us. And we chatted a little bit with Steve Adams at the Radio Attic last week, and we're going to chat a little bit with John this week, and we're going to continue on the same theme as far as opening the questions up. Just how would you rate the state of the hobby these days, John, as far as the level of interest and number of collectors and amount of feedback you might be getting at the magazine as far as people still collecting, reading, subscribing?
Well, the number of subscribers has been kind of constant for the last few years. I purchased the magazine approximately 7 months ago, and right now our circulation figures have been constant since last December. Since then, I've probably visited about 7 or 8 different conventions or meets, radio meets, spoken to hundreds of people, and the hobby is still doing okay. It is still good. The hobby is just not strictly antique radios, antique TVs, but we see a lot of people branching off into, for example, tube audio equipment,
mm-hmm.
or even vintage pinball machines.
Yep, jukeboxes as well are popular.
And jukeboxes, of course. Anything with vacuum tubes seems to be what our readers are interested in. And our readers are really divided almost into two camps, or three, really. Those who just collect, those who just repair, and those who collect and repair their equipment.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week as far as, you know, there are some people who are just happy to look at them. You know, they just want something that they can make look sharp. They're not necessarily interested in if it plays or they'll never plug it in. They don't need to do any restoration work. And then you have folks who are looking for a little bit of both. And then you have some people who aren't really concerned with the appearances as much as these are the guys who want to restore things to exactly the same specifications as when they came out of the factory. They're really trying to experience that vintage sound. This is just kind of an interesting way to look at things if you're trying to put yourself back in the seat of somebody who was sitting in front of that radio in 1934, for example, and hear something that's sounds the same, going to give you the same impression, you know, from a sound reproduction point of view. Another thing as well is that you say radio, and you pointed out some other things that people collect that are related to radios. It's not necessarily the little radio that sits on the table. There are consoles, which are the larger sets, and there are also these, especially in the 50s and 60s, you see these combo sets with maybe an AM and FM tuner as well as a record player, and it's sort of a home entertainment system, and some of these are multiple speaker sets, multiple, you know, high tube counts, sound very, very good and can be very complicated to restore to back to where they were, but they were the cutting-edge stuff at that time.
Yes, for example, I happen to have one of my fascinations is consoles from the 50s and 60s made by Fisher, of Fisher Audio fame. These are some very expensive consoles, AM, FM, turntable, and usually a reel-to-reel. Some of them, for example, in 1955, Fisher sold their top of the line for $2,500. That's for, you know, but that, and that really falls into the area of audio equipment. Fisher later also incorporated some TV sets. There are also the console combination models of just radios, which are not really audio equipment. It would be from the 40s and into the 50s, where it'd be an AM radio, a phonograph, and a television set. You know, people like Dumont and RCA made a lot of these. And,
I stumbled across I stumbled across something online once. I was doing a search for something related to RCA, and maybe I'd been looking at something in the Berkshires earlier, and came across this RCA Berkshire set, which was, I guess, a very deluxe set for the time, and that may have had a TV in it as well. And extremely complicated from a repair technician's point of view, and now, given, you know, the scarcity of especially the moving parts, maybe for the turntables and all, real challenges for somebody to restore back to working order. And, you know, just if we could, just for a second, before we progress here, just back up a little bit. John is with Antique Radio Classified. If you're interested in seeing Antique Radio Classified, you can view it online. You can subscribe if you like a printed magazine. And your web address, well, you just Google up Antique Radio Classified, and I know it comes right up, John.
Yeah, our website is www.antiqueradio.com. Simply antiqueradio.com. And all the information is there, including past issues, the current issues, and all kinds of information to help you in your hobby.
Yeah, there's a great galleries of photographs.
Besides publishing the magazine, we also do sell books related to the hobby, and we probably have about 50 different books related to helping people collect and restore antique radios and televisions.
You know, it's interesting, too. I've run a couple of different ads looking for things, and it's funny. I've gotten, you know, months after the ad has run, I'll get a letter in the mail. I've gotten a few of these just from somebody who is going through the magazine and says, oh, gee, by the way, if you ever need any help with anything, I have speakers, and here's a list of all my speakers, and you can reach me at. Or other people who have just dropped me a note and said, I don't have what you were looking for, but I do have an extensive collection. This is what I specialize in. Call me. Here's my card. So it's interesting in that, you know, people will help you out even if they don't have what you're looking for. And it's a nice, tight little community, and when you publish something in there, if it's a want ad or if you're trying to sell something, you know, you get feedback from people whose goal isn't always to make a buck. In many cases, it's to try to help you out, and especially if you're a novice and you're trying to get yourself started in the hobby, people have been very patient with me. So it's it's a great great place to get together and do a little networking and share a little information amongst collectors as well. It's a good place to make contacts, I guess, is what my point is. John, just not to digress from the publication, but how did you get interested in collecting radios or in radio yourself? Maybe you could just give us a little idea what got you interested, and that obviously is probably key in how you wound up with the magazine.
Yeah, sure. Starting probably at the age of 10 years old, I got a hold of a shortwave radio. And I would start listening to radio from all over the world, you know, Radio Moscow, the BBC, even, you know, stations in the United States. I was living in the New York area as a kid, and I was listening to the Grand Ole Opry, even, you know, from downtown.
You get a little bit of everything, yep.
And then when I was about 15, I became a ham radio operator and started talking to people all over the world. And I started fixing radios, and I always had this thing for fixing electronics. Later on, when I got a little older, I started doing things with antique radios and TVs and things with vacuum tubes. And for the past, let's see, I've been a ham now since 41 years, but antique radios about 25 to 30 years. And it also, as far as my vocation, I was always involved in magazine publishing. I sold advertising for different trade magazines that went to engineers, as well as I worked for a number of consumer magazines, hobbyist magazines like Modern Electronics, and I called on those kinds of advertisers and companies, Modern Electronics, Electronics Servicing, even a ham magazine, CQ, I worked for.
Yep, that's a familiar name.
And from there, about late last year, I heard Antique Radio was for sale. I always wanted my own publication. And what better thing can you find? A business that mirrors your hobby. It's a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, but, you know, anything is a lot of hard work if you make it so.
Well, you know, it's an interesting blend, you know, as to how you wound up as a publisher as well as a radio collector. Do you have any particular, you mentioned Fisher, do you have any other particular favorites amongst manufacturers or types of radios that you're interested in? Is it the larger console type, multi-function type sets, or do you have any of the old, you know, just, you know, an AM broadcast band with some shortwave on it?
Well, here at the house, I have about 150 radios and TVs. Some people specialize. I do like Fishers, for example, the consoles. But just because I do like listening to music. And to be honest with you, there's not a lot of music on AM radios.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have FM.
Yep.
But I have every type of radio. My radios I collect are ones that, one, aesthetically I like the looks of, and two, ones that I haven't ever fixed before. So I have everything from the 1920s, you know, Westinghouse, what they call a battery set that worked on batteries, mm-hmm. up until even a couple of transistor radios of the 60s. But the majority of my radios are from the 30s, I'd say. And any type, wood, Bakelite, plastic. But I guess if you call a specialty, maybe Fisher would be the one most likely I like. But that's more of an audio side versus
right.
the radio side.
Right. You know, it's interesting because you get people who, you know, collect for lots of different reasons. There are those who I just do tombstone radios. I really like that look. That's what I want. You've got other folks who want Bakelite. They want small. Maybe they have a limited amount of space. That's their thing. You've got other people who like the novelty radios, and there's all kinds of novelty radios from beer bottles to kegs, and you've seen all kinds of things. Many articles in Antique Radio Classified I've seen about somebody restoring something that was a radio designed to advertise a product, Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, that type of thing. And it's just lots of different angles. And another thing, too, I guess living in New York, it's funny, you know, you get into researching a little bit of the history of some of the manufacturers. We're so used to having things made overseas now. I think that, you know, from our perspective, you don't expect New York City to be a producer of radios, but there are a lot of great manufacturers based right in and around New York. Radio Row, you know, where the, you know, site
yeah.
of the old World Trade Center.
No, absolutely. No. Back in the 1920s, there was over 100 radio manufacturers in the New York City area. And, you know, let's look at the radio companies based here. RCA
mm-hmm.
Was based here. They did a lot of their manufacturing in this area, you know, and other places in the country. But
I have
always
Air King was over in Brooklyn. And who ever thought
yeah.
that radios came from Brooklyn? And up in Rochester, I'm fortunate enough, I have a Stromberg Carlson floor model, which is a great
yeah.
set, right up, you know, in New York State. And you don't necessarily, you know, equate, you know, rural areas. Although Rochester is an old industrial city. Everything now, I mean, you expect to see, look at it and see made in China, made in Taiwan, and you say, gee, New York. And Chicago was another city that seemed to have an awful lot of activity with Zenith and Admiral and lots of different companies out of the Chicago area that manufactured. So it's interesting. The companies themselves can be, there are those who I know just, you know, collect from one company and then do a lot of research on that company, and they could tell you who was president and when and if they ever went public and how they treated their employees.
Of course. Some people do specialize. You know, there's the Zenith guy or the, as you say, the Admiral guy, the guy who just collects Crosley. Crosley not only made radios and TVs. They made automobiles and refrigerators.
Yep. You know, there was a neat story that Dave Crocker had written, who's a collector up here in Massachusetts. It was in ARC about the Crossley airplane. I guess Powell Crossley, that was another one. Being a very wealthy guy, you know, he could basically spend his money and have whatever he wanted for a hobby. So he thought he would try to make some type of an economized type plane, which I guess never... I guess his radios turned out to be a lot more popular than his planes. But lots of different angles, lots of different spins, and lots of different reasons that that people are in the hobby. Do you have, so you said you had about 150 sets, all working, not working, are you or works in progress that you have waiting to be done?
I have a lot of radios here. It depends, you know, the publishing side is taking a lot of time right now.
Right.
And I love fixing radios. I love taking something that hasn't worked for 50, 60, 70 years and trying to get them to work.
Just to remind you, this is Tube Talk. We're on WRCA AM 1330, Watertown, Boston, and we're talking with John Coomer over at Antique Radio Classified, a great publication dedicated to the radio collecting, selling, repairing, storytelling hobby that radio collecting is. And John was just talking a little bit about what he's got on the bench. I don't know if you have, with the magazine now, you mentioned that your repair time has been taken up. But I guess one of the neat things is, you know, you've been doing a lot of outreach, going to a lot of these swap meets and club meets, and you get to see what other people have been working on as well. So not only your own stuff, but have you seen anything very unusual or very interesting that we might like to hear about in your travels?
I always get to see cool and unusual things. I wish I could afford them all or bring them all home with me. That's the problem. One thing I picked up recently, I picked up a beautiful 1949 television set made by Emerson, made of Bakelite, a floor model, magnificent-looking thing, a huge piece of Bakelite. It must have been 4 feet tall.
I wonder how they molded something like that.
It's probably one of the biggest pieces of Bakelite ever molded, you know, I mean, if you think about it. And things like that, or I try to find unique things, but once in a while, I'll see a $20 item, very inexpensive, that I think is, wow, that is cool looking. I'm putting it on the shelf. I'm going to buy it. It's not nothing fancy, but just cool looking. I have
something that kind of fits. Excuse me, I gotta tell you about this one. This sort of fits that bill. It's just if you think it looks cool, I have it's a Bakelite RCA from the 50s, and RCA apparently named certain styles for their sets. This is called Gladwin, and it's kind of an odd looking little set. It's tall, and it's not very wide, but it has a large speaker, and it has an 8-inch speaker. It's just a very simple 5-tube lineup. And it has this curved grill with a golden cloth the golden cloth when I got it was gone, so I managed to get some lame fabric at a fabric store, and I relayered it on there. And, you know, I said, well, what really is this? I'm trying to, you know, why is this catchy? Who designed this? What were they thinking about when they designed it? And I never really got it. And then one night, the room was fairly dark. I had turned that radio on. The light from the dial light, which was below these curved little ledges, actually illuminates the bottom of them, and it was such a cool look. I said, wow, so that's it. I mean, why else would... Because it's a very common-looking set. It's almost an awkward-looking set. But, you know, you see how it looks in the dark, and you say, wow, that's really... I like that. And it's not anything technically very special, but, again, if you like it and it fits your collection and... You know, that in itself is a reason to buy a radio at any one of these meets if you care for it. And there are those who have some radios. I know that, you know, you look at it and you say, gee, what attracted you to that? But it's interesting to hear people's stories as far as what draws them into things, you know?
No, I have, as I said, on my shelves, I have radios worth $10 and radios worth a lot more. And I buy things based on design. Sometimes just, sometimes it's just because I haven't worked on them, as I said before.
Sure.
It depends on my mood, you know. Depends on how much room I have in the car, you know.
No, I understand.
Also, like a lot of people, you know, you're limited for space, so you can't bring too many
huge
consoles in, you know. Everyone has their different thing. I speak to people all the time who just collect tabletop sets.
Sure.
I have know people who just collect consoles. I don't know where they put them all. I hope they have a big house. But it's what you make it. I've always loved fixing things. I like reading about the history of technology in this country. We were the leader, in some ways still are the leader in technology and consumer electronics.
Yeah, it used to be manufacturing, but now I think it's probably in the R&D, yeah, in the idea department.
You're right. Well, look, you know, things are not manufactured here anymore.
And
unfortunate, when I fix things, I have about 7,000 or 8,000 radio tubes here. I don't have to worry about finding tubes, you know, but there are sources in case I need to.
Well, there's a lot of businesses that are dedicated to supporting people in this hobby. Those can be amateur, and those are very, you know, legitimate brick and mortar businesses, people who do mail order or sell over the internet. So there is a lot of resource out there for people who are looking for, you know, commercially available parts if they're trying to do the repair business. John, I mentioned last week we talked a little bit about people trying to keep interest alive in the hobby, and you mentioned to me when I spoke to you earlier today you're headed out to California to go to the California Historical Radio Society meeting. I guess they have a big meeting out in the Bay Area this weekend, and they're working on that radio station project, and they're really out there as far as on the edge, doing a lot of different things to build some interest in the hobby. Any idea how many people they expect at their big meeting this weekend?
Well, I think they're going to have at least 300 people.
That's a very good crowd.
400.
That's a good crowd.
I mean, they have one of the largest clubs in the country. It's well organized. They have a nice website. They are actually able to get a hold of an old radio station building, KRE. And it's in Berkeley, California, and I'm going there to say hello to everyone. In the last issue, the June issue of the magazine, we did an article on their club, and I want to use it as an example to show clubs what is possible. Now, obviously, in the San Francisco area, you have a large density of population. Certain other areas, you're not going to have that density to pull on for members to pull from. In New York, we have a lot of people. But then again, here at the New York Long Island area, we have a very small club. We have 50 members at the most. It depends on, usually you need some movers and shakers in the club. The New Jersey club I've been to, they have about 200 or 300 members. They do workshops. They'll have, like, a workshop on bring your oscilloscope in and we'll show you how it's really used, you know.
Well, sure, these are all...
sound very geeky, but
no,
it is very helpful to
it
the
is.
People.
It is. And, in addition, you know, as far as giving advice to somebody who might be interested in, you know, just putting their foot in the door on this hobby or getting started in this hobby, I mean, I'd recommend they pick up a copy of Antique Radio Classified or check it out online. This is step one. But if you visit one of the local swap meets, and the swap meets and club meetings are listed in Antique Radio Classified, you can also find them on websites, as John mentioned, that most of these clubs have. The Internet really connects people as far as, you know, somebody here in Boston keeping tabs on what's going on out in the Bay Area club. But they all serve to give you ideas as to what happens with your local club, whether it's a swap meet where you might be able to go and find something, or a little workshop on radio repair or on equipment that you might use to repair, or even if they just have some discussions. I know a lot of them will focus, you know, they'll have their meeting and they might have a theme, you know, this quarter's theme is going to be RCA. We're going to talk about all things RCA, and they ask the folks who belong to that particular club, bring your favorite RCAs, and they have a theme, and they'll talk about the manufacturers and the history of the company. And it can be very interesting stuff, so... And it's another reason to, I guess, check out Antique Radio Classified is to keep up on
website,
the keep up with the meets.
We have listings up to 3 months in advance of radio meets or, you know, swap meets in all over the country. And all you have to, it doesn't cost anything to look at that portion of the website.
Sure.
you look, you find something in your area, and you go to it. All you have to do is walk around. What I like and what I found is, and you'd mentioned this before, people are friendly. If you go up and tell them, hey, listen, I'm looking around, I'm new, they're not, you know, they'll say, oh, okay, well, here, this is what this radio is, here's what this radio is. One thing I've noticed is that wherever I went to a radio meeting, whatever part of the country, it's almost like I'm a member of the family.
Yeah.
They treat you like with respect and like a gentleman. And
yes, that's the word. There's a lot of gentlemen in this hobby.
Be in that situation.
Yeah, and some of these things are very festive events. I know the Michigan Club has a big meet, and they have a music event, and Cutstown down in Pennsylvania has a very big program that they run. Folks come, they camp out, they go all day to the meets, they chat with people, they go out for dinner. You know, so they're real events, and people travel from a lot of miles to go to these things, too. So obviously they wouldn't be going several hundred miles if it wasn't fun. So, in any event, John.
Oh, absolutely. It's you get to see old friends. You know, get to sell some of your stuff that
sure.
you're trying to get rid of. Sometimes you see people, stuff you sold last time being sold by someone else, you know, who bought it from you. It's a lot of fun, you know, and you get to you pick up old books and magazines and almost self-teach yourself
right.
a lot of things.
And it is a window.
And again, you know,
window to past popular culture.
Yeah, it's such a friendly atmosphere. It's a fun hobby or enthusiast thing. It's nice, clean fun. You could bring the spouse, your kids to this kind of thing.
I've seen at some of the clubs they even have a special event for the spouses. You know, they just say, and the wives will have their luncheon. Not to say that there aren't women collectors, but a lot of them will indulge their husbands by going on to the meet and saying, you go do your thing, and I'm going to go chat with the other ladies here who aren't too interested. And, you know, so there's something, probably something for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, showing the kids that, hey, you know, there was something before, an iPod.
Yes.
You know?
Well, there are.
Yes, a radio.
Yeah.
It took about 30 to 60 seconds to warm up before you could listen to it through the old radio tubes. And back then, we only had 4 or 5 TV stations.
I know.
And, you know, it's a good learning experience for young people.
It is. And it's an interesting hobby. It's a good learning experience. John, I know you're getting ready to head out to California. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I'd like to just say thank you for being on Tube Talk with us today. I'd encourage everybody to check out Antique Radio Classified either online, or if you wanted to, you could certainly get the information online to subscribe to a print copy. And, John, thanks again, and good luck in California with your visit.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We'll chat with you soon. Take care now.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Tube Talk here on WRCA 1330 AM. And it was nice to have a chat with John down at Antique Radio Classified. He's a hardworking guy, one-man band down there, doing everything from getting the magazine shipped out, editing it, working on the website, and obviously somebody who's got a lot of dedication and a lot of heart in the hobby, and more than happy to share it with everybody. Let's take a little sentimental journey. Sentimental journey is a big part of this hobby. A lot of folks who are into the hobby are also fans of the music and the entertainment of the time. So let's take a little sentimental journey, shall we?
Thank you. gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation. Long to hear that all aboard. 7, that's the time we leave at 7. I'll be waiting up at heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey, sentimental journey home, sentimental journey.
Imagine that. Doris Day with Les Brown and his orchestra. A little sentimental journey on a program about radio collectors, about fixing radios. And let's talk a little bit about rule number one again, which I will reiterate from our last program. And rule number one is this. It's an interesting hobby. It's a hobby where we have to exercise a certain amount of caution, given the fact that we are involving electricity. And electricity can be dangerous. And radios that have been unplayed for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if you plug them in when you find them in somebody's attic or at a swap meet or at a yard sale or at a flea market, if the radio hasn't been serviced by a competent professional, you could have some real problems. You could hurt the radio. Putting too much current into a radio that's not ready for it or has parts that have degraded over time can really do harm, serious harm, fatal harm to the set itself, not to mention possibly cause harm to your home or to yourself. So if you do find that neat old radio that you've been hunting around for, you come upon it, you're excited, you must fight the urge, resist the temptation to plug that thing in. You do not want to smell smoke. You do not want to see sparks. You do not want to hurt what you're so much enamored with that's sitting on your table there right in front of you. So have it checked out. You can find resources for repair through Antique Radio Classified, through websites like the Radio Attic. You can contact your local Antique Radio Club. They will be happy to refer you to folks who may be members or that they know of who do radio repair and restoration work. That's the way to play it. Play it safe. How about a little more music here? Going back in time. Joe Stafford singing.
I dreamed a dream one day, and now that dream is here beside me. Long the skies were overcast, but now the clouds have passed. You're here. Not denied me. Just one look, and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you. Thank you. my spine. Aladdin's lamp is mine. The dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you.
Boy, having music like that around would certainly do a little bit to restore a little sanity and a little civility in society. Go home and listen to that on the radio. But unfortunately, a lot of the programming, much like a lot of the radios, just aren't quite what they used to be. This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM. Well, we don't have much time left for another guest, and we like to give our guests plenty of time to fill you in on what's going on in their particular areas of interest. Let's have a little Frank Sinatra. We'll continue with some sounds here. And let's have Mr. Sinatra help us go back in time a little bit further.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of counting sheep. When you're lone, heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her most lesson. You'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her.
Small hours of the morning, that's the time to listen to that vintage antique set, dialight glowing, tubes glowing, gentle hum in the background, soft, mellow sound from the speakers. How about a little Lou Rawls?
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather since my gal and I, we ain't together. It keeps raining all of the time. Life is bad. Gloom and the miseries everywhere. Stormy weather. Just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all of the time. Oh, well now, when she went away, the blues walked in and met me. And if she stays away, old rocking chair's gonna get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. I can't go on. Everything I had is gone. The stormy weather. Since my gal and I, we ain't together. It keeps raining all of the time. Life is bare. Gloom and misery's everywhere. Stormy weather. I just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all of the time. I can't go on. Everything I had is gone. It's stormy weather. Since my gal and I, we ain't together. It keeps raining all of the time. Keeps on a raining all of the time. Stormy weather.
Thanks for listening to Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. And not only do we talk, we also listen to some neat music from the era of the classic radio. And we hope to do this show some more. Come to you again in the evenings on WRCA. I've had some pretty good response talking to different people who are in the hobby, folks who specialize in writing certain books about certain industry, you know, certain manufacturers in the industry, folks who collect certain types of radios, folks who are interested in sharing what they find really cool about neat old radios. And again, remember, classic tube radios, real radios, glow in the dark. They have tubes. They get warm and cozy, and they're fun to listen to. Here's a little Nat King Cole to close it out.
I can only give you love that lasts forever. And the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If your You're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear. You'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you'll adore for now and evermore. That's all. That's all.
Thanks again for listening. Good night.
If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you'll adore for now and evermore. That's all. That's all.